On the record.
On News Talk.
With Pennergy. Supplying energy with insight to forward-thinking Irish businesses.
Let's get to our first interview this morning. It is Professor Stephen Froelich, who is the head of intensive care unit at the Beacon Hospital. Stephen, good morning to you. Your hospital issued a statement last night saying that it's already wearing the green jersey, doing all that it can to support the public health system during the ongoing public health crisis. If that were true, why is your hospital the only one of 18 private hospitals not to sign up to a deal with the HSE to allow 30% of your capacity?
Good morning, Gavin, and thank you for having me on. Listen, we're more than wearing the green jersey. We're wearing every shade of green and have been doing for a number of months now. Since the autumn, we've developed relationships and very strong relationships on a clinical level, doctor-to-doctor relationships with individual public hospitals that has allowed us to treat a huge number of public patients over the last number of months. And in fact, we propose to continue to do that and grow that further. We've added additional capacity. We've added about 25% additional theatre capacity in the form of weekend working, which we didn't do heretofore, to actually facilitate the public sector over the last number of months. And that's something we're expanding out further this time. What on the ground, in reality, over the course of October, November and December, myself and my colleagues have developed very close relationships with our colleagues in individual public hospitals and in intensive care, which has allowed them to seamlessly transfer patients to our facility, regardless of whether they're public, private or what their insurance status is, but based solely on clinical need.
And do you not think that that's the same with any other private hospitals in the Dublin area?
Now, what I'm very confident, Gavin, and what is very clear is that we've been doing this well in advance of any other government agreement. And no, the private sector is a mixed bag with different hospitals that have different skill sets. But given our skill set of high tech oncology and cardiac work and critical care capacity, our facility has been in much greater demand, I suppose, by the public sector for that time sensitive work. So yes, we're doing a lot more than any other private hospital.
Because the statement says last night that was issued says public patients currently occupy over 55% of your intensive care unit and approximately 15-20% of all surgery in the last 4 months. And although that does, on the face of it, look quite impressive, I suppose I'd wonder how much of that is down to the usual arrangements through the National Treatment Purchase Fund, which is the agreement through which a lot of private hospitals like your own would carry out work on behalf of the state anyway.
Yeah, so I was in this morning, Gavin, and 63% of our ICU patients today are public patients.
Do you mind me asking how many you have right now?
We have 9 ICU patients at the moment. That's in an 8-bedded intensive care unit.
Do you have 9 patients in a bed for 8 or in a unit for 8?
So we have added additional capacity and our nurses have volunteered to open an extra bed to meet surgical and oncology demand for a time-sensitive case that needed to go ahead yesterday. Our theatre staff were in theatre until about 2:30 in the morning last night, operating for 12 hours on a patient who was transferred from a public hospital who was diagnosed with a very advanced malignancy on Wednesday. This is time-sensitive surgery. This is life-saving surgery. And this is what our existing arrangements allow us to do. It allows doctors in the public facilities to access our private facility.
But how would that be threatened by the arrangement that the HSE is putting on the table? Because if all they want is to have clinical access to 30% of your facilities, then surely it sounds like you're already busy enough where the other 70%, you know, if there was any question mark about it, is going to be pretty well applied anyway.
Well, Gavin, we already have experience of working with the HSE on a similar agreement, in fact, an almost identical agreement last spring. And during that time, 70% of our hospital was empty. So at the time of the greatest need for national healthcare capacity, our hospital was the emptiest it has been since 2005. In 3 months, I got one single ICU transfer from the public sector. So putting in place a centralized HSE arrangement that's bureaucratically intense, difficult to administer, that runs to a few hundred pages, to us just doesn't work. And what I'm very confident, and indeed almost all of our consultant doctors in the Beacon Hospital have written to management outlining their real concerns that if we were to enter this deal, we'd be left looking at empty beds again.
But what I can't understand, Stephen, is how it would lead to empty beds. Because if, as you say, you have an ICU unit which usually has capacity for 8 people, and you mentioned this morning you have 63%, so that's 5 out of the 8 beds are currently occupied by public patients. If you sign a deal with the HSE that allows them to use 30% of your capacity, it's not as if a bed is going to go empty. We know the pressure that the public health system is under, which is why they're utilising your services anyway. So formalising that surely wouldn't make any difference. It's not going to mean beds sitting empty.
No, we'd be delighted to formalise that, and I understand from our management that they would be delighted to formalise the current arrangements that they have with existing public hospitals that allow rapid access to our capacity. However, you're suggesting that just because there's demand, the beds will be full and patients will be transferred to us. Unfortunately, Gavin, that's not how it works, and that's not how it worked. And even the current Minister for Health was highly critical of the €500 million deal that essentially left public hospitals empty. That may seem illogical. It is quite hard to square how for 3 months we left our private hospitals empty despite the state paying for them. But look, that's what happened. This is a centralised, very bureaucratic process. I've read through the contract this morning myself. There is nothing around the clinical transfer of patients about how that's enacted and so on. It's all big picture headline, really ideology, rather than actually getting the buy-in of the individual doctors on the ground.
But now, if it doesn't prescribe how exactly you go about transferring patients from one facility to another, does that not mean that there's scope to continue doing exactly as you are?
Well, so we would propose, and we will continue to do exactly as we are. And if the HSE would wish to wrap that into an agreement, I have no doubt that our board would be very supportive of that. But the current arrangement, which, as I said, is centralised, is written for 19 different private hospitals. Remember, the private sector isn't one homogeneous entity. Mm. You know, some hospitals only do orthopaedics, some hospitals only do day cases, and so on. You can't impose a one size fits all contract on that. And look, we have the experience of that, and it'll be absolutely remiss of me as a doctor to make a mistake a second time and go into an arrangement that we really feel is very flawed and will actually lead to empty beds.
So, I mean, bizarrely, does all that mean then, if an arrangement was made that could assure you that none of your facilities would end up lying idle for the next couple of months, that you'd be more than happy to get on board with the HSE?
We're already on board with the HSE.
But in this kind of formalised, centralised way?
Look, I can't speak for the hospital's board, but I have no doubt that they've shown their commitment and their absolute commitment well in advance of any other hospital in the private sector to actually deliver care and to facilitate the HSD's needs at this time. So absolutely, I'd be very confident that we'd be very happy to enter an arrangement that would reflect what we're currently doing, and indeed do more than what we're currently doing, and expand and open up more capacity if we can, because we want to do more work. We want to help out the public sector, but we need to do it in a way that we know will work on the ground. And you know, just to come back to some of the details of the agreement, Gavin, it's bizarre in the extreme. The HSE, as part of that agreement, will pay hospitals to keep beds empty. Our arrangement, where we have local existing arrangements between clinical teams, means that we only get paid for work done. So if we have an empty bed, it's not on the state's head. The state aren't paying for the cost.
Just to send that out, because this is a level of detail that a lot of people won't know. How exactly would you end up being paid to keep a bed empty?
That's what's in the contract.
You would be encouraged not to fill a bed. Is that what you mean?
If we were to leave 30% of our capacity aside, if I was to leave 3 or 4 of my ICU beds empty, and if the HSE didn't send me a patient to put in them, we would be paid for that bed regardless.
Okay, but you would be paid for the bed irrespective of whether it was occupied. Not a case that you'd be incentivized or actively instructed to keep it empty. Okay, right, I understand, because I think that was perhaps open to a little bit of misunderstanding. Can I ask you, Stephen?
That's a bizarre arrangement in the for the taxpayer. Mm. You know, we have a system that is delivering really top quality clinical care at the very highest standards, and we can really provide any form of oncology or cardiac surgery or complex surgery. But and we're happy to be paid for the work we do. We're not looking to be paid to keep our capacity empty. And remember, we were paid for 70% of our capacity, which was empty for 3 months of this year already.
Can I ask you, of all the people that you've currently got in the hospital now, whether they're public or private, are there any COVID patients in your facility at all?
Look, Gavin, I don't want to talk about individual or specific diseases. So what I will say is that every single patient, we have about 60 to 70 patients a day present to our emergency department, regardless of whether what their diagnosis is admitted and treated in our hospital. And we don't turn away patients who have COVID.
Sure,
but I can't go into specific, I'm not prepared to go into specific details about what our case mix is.
Okay, no, but I don't want to talk about individual patients, but like, for example, do you have a COVID ward?
We have arrangements to treat COVID patients in a facility that keeps the entire hospital safe and keeps those patients safe and isolated from the rest of our surgical cohort. What I can say is I don't currently have any COVID patients in ICU at the moment under my care.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for your time this morning, Stephen. That's Professor Stephen Froelich, who is the head of intensive care at the Beacon Hospital, which, as many texters will have observed, is an institution which has a common ownership with this station, just to place that on the record.